Okay, we'll begin. Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech. We'd like to discuss a Rashi, a very difficult Rashi, in the end of this week's Sedra, in Parshas Nitzavim, the first of two parashiyos this week. The Torah writes, Ha'idosi bochem hayoim, in Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Tes. Ha'idosi bochem hayoim es ha'shomayim ve'es ha'oretz. The Torah writes that the heaven and earth will offer testimony. What is the testimony that heaven and earth offer? So Rashi says as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Histaklu bashomayim. Now that word histaklu is very important. We will come back to it. Histaklu means not just see it, but gaze, look at the shomayim. Look at heaven, which I have created to serve you. Shemo shinu es midosom. Has heaven ever changed its programming? Has the sun ever risen anywhere else but in the east and set anywhere else but in the west? Following that, have a look at earth. Has anybody ever planted wheat and then seen barley grow? Has anybody ever planted barley and then seen wheat grow? No. So the testimony that Shomayim and Oretz offer is, if you only have a look at them, you'll see that they never change. The sun always rises in the east and always sets in the west. The ground is also loyal, a faithful servant, as it were. Whatever you plant, that's what grows there. So Rashi says, quoting a Chazal, that if that's the case, the Shomayim and Va'oretz, they never change. They're always loyal servants and they keep to what they're supposed to be doing. Even though the Shomayim and the Oretz, they don't get sechar, va'oinesh, benefit or reward. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kal v'chomer. Therefore you should learn a lesson and you should understand that kal v'chomer, you, Klal Yisrael, you do earn schar for doing mitzvahs. You do get punished for doing aveiros, kol shekein, and a kal v'chomer, that you too should not change, should not deviate from what you're supposed to be doing. And that's the end of Rashi. This, of course, reminds us of the Pasuk, and in fact Rashi is quoting a Sifri based on that Pasuk, which is the Pasuk in the beginning of Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim va'adabeiro. There too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the form of Moshe Rabbeinu, addresses, as it were, Shomayim va'oretz. So the great lesson to be learned, apparently, from Shomayim and Oretz, is if histaklu, if you look, you pay attention to the Shomayim and the Oretz, you will notice that they always do what they're supposed to be doing. The Shomayim never deviates in any way. And so too, you, Klal Yisrael, should learn the lesson of Shomayim and Oretz, and you too should never deviate from what you're supposed to be doing. Ad kan divrei Rashi. What is the obvious question on Rashi that I'm sure that all of you are thinking to yourselves? Shomayim and Oretz do not have Bechira at all. They don't have the option of deviating from what they're supposed to be doing. The Shomayim, the sun, is programmed in a particular way. The Oretz is programmed in its way. They do not have Bechira. We, however, human beings, do have Bechira. And if we do have Bechira, how can you possibly learn the lesson of the sun and the earth? Let's explain the question in the form of a moshel. Imagine the Rebbe in the classroom sees some boys misbehaving. And he says to them, look at that boy sitting in the corner, paying attention, doing what he's supposed to be doing. Why can't you learn a lesson from him? That makes sense. But if the Rebbe would say to them, why are you running around the classroom? Look at the chair. The chair doesn't run around. He's got four legs, but he doesn't run around the classroom. So why can't you do the same? That does not make sense. Because the chair does not have bechira. The chair has not chosen to remain stationary. He has no choice in the matter. But all the other children in the classroom do have that bechira. How can you possibly be expected to learn the lesson to not deviate from what you're supposed to be doing, just like the Shomayim and the Oretz? Shomayim and the Oretz do not have bechira. We do have bechira. So how can you possibly learn one from the other? This is the big question. This is the famous question that all of the commentaries ask on Rashi. So I'd like to share with you a magnificent approach that I saw in the Shemesh Shmuel. He writes it in at least two places, both in this week's parasha, and also in Parshas Ha'azinu, elsewhere in a drasha in Shabbos Shuvah, and he explains as follow, and it's worth listening, bear with me. The Shemesh Shmuel begins his piece as follows, and he says, let's go back right to the very beginning. Adam HaRishon, when he was created, the only man on planet Earth, did he have Bechira? Or did he not have Bechira? The big question. It would seem to be, on the surface, says the Shemesh Shmuel, that there is a machloikus rishonim as to whether Adam or Rishon did or didn't have Bechira. That's what it seems to be. Why does it seem to be that way? So he explains. The Ramban in this week's parasha, in our parasha, writes that le'osid lovoi, in the times to come, when Mashiach arrives, mankind will not have any taiva, will have no yetzer hara to do the wrong thing. There will be no bechira, therefore, just like he will return back to Adam HaRishon before the chait. So the Ramban seems clearly to be telling us that Adam HaRishon had no desire, had no yetzer hara to do anything wrong, in fact didn't have Bechira. After all, if we ever define Bechira, obviously Bechira necessarily means that there's a yetzer hara and there's a yetzer hatov, and they're both tugging me in different directions, and I have to make my choice. But if there is no taiva, if there is no desire to do evil, then I have no yetzer hara and I have no bechira. And the Ramban tells us that in the times to come, this is exactly what it will be like. A person will not have taiva to do evil, and he will once again be restored to the state that Adam HaRishon found himself in right initially when he was created. It seems to be black and white in the Ramban that Adam HaRishon did not have Bechira. Now, what is, of course, the obvious question on that? Well, if he didn't have Bechira, how did he end up sinning then? After all, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. That would clearly seem to imply that he did have Bechira. He had to make the choice, and unfortunately, he made the wrong choice. On the other side of the coin, the Sfarnu, one of the great Rishonim in Parashas Bereishis, writes absolutely clearly that Adam HaRishon did have Bechira. He was a Baal Bechira. So it would seem to be, on the surface, that we have a machloikus between the Ramban and the Sfaranu, did or didn't Adam HaRishon have Bechira? That's what it looks like. Now listen to the utter genius of the Shemesh Shmuel. He wrote this exactly 100 years ago. The Shemesh Shmuel says, I'd like to suggest there's actually no machloikas whatsoever. How can that be? The Ramban writes that there was no Bechira. And the Sfaranu writes that there was Bechira. So how can there be no machloikas? They seem to be taking diametrically opposite positions. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, and this is his big yesod, quite incredible. We, as human beings, indeed have Bechira. That's true. We have Bechira. So let's ask the question. Imagine you're standing in front of a raging fire. An enormous fire. And someone says to you, would you like to jump into the fire? Do I have Bechira to jump in or not? Technically, I do. I could choose if I want to jump in the fire. I could choose if I want not to jump in the fire. But we all perfectly well understand that even though technically he has Bechira, but obviously in practice he has no Bechira at all. The heat of the flames which are bearing down on him are so overwhelming that the option of jumping in the fire is simply not an option. He has no desire or will or inclination whatsoever to jump in the fire. So if we were to ask, does he have Bechira or he doesn't have Bechira? And the answer is, technically, he has Bechira. Practically, there is no choice to be made. He has no Bechira. So says the Shemesh Shmuel, every Aveira that we perform, Chas V'Shalom, we're also going to have to suffer dire consequences. Perhaps with a fire far, far hotter than any fire that could possibly be made here in Olam Hazeh. So what does that mean? Why are we considered to be Balei Bechira? If I stand in front of the fire, and we all agree that's not called Bechira, I, for all intents and purposes, don't really have two choices. So why are we considered Balei Bechira when it comes to an Aveira? If I'm about, Chas V'Shalom, to utter a word of Lashon Hara, why don't I have the overwhelming picture of Gehenom staring me in the face such that it no longer becomes an option? I'm a non-Baal Bechira. It's a Kal V'Chomer. Far more dangerous and scary proposition is the fire of Gehenom than a fire here in Olam Hazeh. What's the obvious answer? The fire in Olam Hazeh, I can see. And the fire in Gehenom, I can't see. I might know about it, I've learned about it, I've heard about it, but I don't see it. And if I don't see it, I don't think about it. And I somehow rationalize the irrational. It's not such a bad Aveira. Others are doing the same. Maybe this is extenuating circumstances. There could be a heter. If I would feel the raging flames of Gehenom standing in front of me, I wouldn't rationalize any of the above. That, therefore, is the difference. And that's why we are considered to be Balei Bechira. We might well know the truth. We don't feel the truth. And therefore, we are constantly having to make choices. We are not like the person who is standing next to an open oven and being told, would you like to jump into the oven? That's not a choice. There are no two options. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, the day will come, may it be b'mehera b'yomeinu, where, as Chazal say, Umola ha'oretz deyo, when Mashiach comes, there'll be an overwhelming clarity. There will be no longer, as it were, two choices, and that's what it means, that in the future, people will have no tiver to do evil. It doesn't mean that their bechira gets taken away. It means they have utter and total clarity. So they have no inkling. They have no desire whatsoever to do chait. So again, technically speaking, we will remain Balei Bechira. But for all intents and purposes, we will not be Balei Bechira, because the MS will be so overwhelmingly clear. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, if that's the case, there is no machloikas whatsoever. Did Adam HaRishon have Bechira, or did he not have Bechira? And the answer is, technically, he did. Practically, he didn't. There is no machloikas at all. Initially, when Adam HaRishon was created, there was no Nochash in the world. There was no Yetzer Hara, which is, of course, represented in the Nochash. So clarity was of the utmost. Technically, Adam HaRishon was a Baal Bechira. That's what the Sfarnu means when he calls him a Baal Bechira. But the Ramban says he wasn't a Baal Bechira. He's not arguing. He's telling you that for all intents and purposes, things were so overwhelmingly clear to Adam HaRishon that for all intents and purposes, there were no choices to be made. There is absolutely no machlokes between the Sfarnu and the Ramban. Did he or didn't he have Baal Bechira? Both are correct. Essentially, he had Bechira. Practically, he didn't, because the MS was clear. So we asked, so one moment, so how did he end up sinning? The answer is very simple. Comes along the Nochash, and the Nochash clouded Adam HaRishon's vision, such that now the MS is not so clear after all. And now Adam HaRishon is no longer merely a technical Baal Bechira, he is now a practical Baal Bechira. He really does have to make the choice. Adam HaRishon has now moved into our world, where the MS is not so clear. You have the luring voice of the Nochash, you can eat, you can touch the tree, nothing will happen, it'll be fine, look, Chava did anyway. Suddenly the truth becomes a blurry image. And the MS that was so clear until that point is no longer clear. So Adam HaRishon now is no longer a technical Baal Bechira, he's a practical Baal Bechira. Initially, that wasn't the case. Initially, Adam HaRishon's default position was, the choice has basically been made. The MS is clear, unless my vision becomes clouded. But until that point, the MS was clear. With us, however, it's the opposite. What is our default position? Our default position is unfortunately one in which the MS is not clear. Yetzer Hara, Yetzer HaTov, backwards, forwards, each one pulling in his direction. Our default position is that we are constantly having to make practical choices. However, we could, with Hisboinenus, if we would think carefully into the ramifications of mitzvahs and aveiros, then we can also revert back to the MS. And we can once again go back to Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. I'll give you a very practical example. You know, the expression goes in English, ignorance is bliss. But actually, ignorance is not always bliss. Imagine somebody is indeed ignorant, and he vaguely is aware of, for example, Hilchos Shabbos, but not fully. He knows you mustn't turn on a light, you mustn't cook, and you mustn't build a house, and that's about it. So he wants to now move a piece of muktzah on Shabbos. Well, moving muktzah doesn't seem to be quite like turning on a light. I'm not cooking anything. I'm not building anything. It's probably okay. He had the bechira. The MS was not clear to him. So he made his choice and he took the wrong choice. Imagine you've just now studied the laws of muktzah for 2 years straight. Not only did you study all the halachas, you examined the hashkafics of muktzah. And you realize that when somebody is metaltal muktzah, what terrible ramifications that has. So now reset the scene. You have a piece of muktzah in front of you. Do you have a choice? To move it on Shabbos? Technically you do. You either can or you can't. But you've become, as it were, a non-Baal Bechira. You have made yourself, with effort, a non-Baal Bechira. Technically, of course, you're a Baal Bechira. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. But the MS is clear. All of our children, I think, if they've been educated well, they might not know why or how, but they all know we don't turn on a light on Shabbos. My 4-year-old son has no Yetzer Hara to turn on a light on Shabbos. He knows we don't turn on a light. That's absolutely sacrilegious on Shabbos. He doesn't make the choice not to turn the light on. He knows it's just something you don't do. So he doesn't do it. Does he have a Bechira? Technically he does. Of course, he could either turn it on or not turn it on. But for all intents and purposes, if he's been taught correctly that turning on a light is terrible chilul Shabbos, then for all intents and purposes, he has no Bechira. Says the Shemesh Shmuel in his closing line, an utter genius, this is pshat in Rashi. In fact, the question we asked is indeed the answer. What was the question we asked? Histaklu bashomayim ubaaretz. Look at heaven and earth. And they don't deviate from what they're supposed to be doing, so you should be doing the same. And what was the big question? But heaven and earth are not balei bechira at all. And what's the answer, says the Shemesh Shmuel? Exactly. Study them and realize that you too can become non-Baalei Bechira. The question is in fact the answer. Just like the Shomayim and Va'aretz has no two choices to make. He is non-Baal Bechira. You, Histaklu. What does Histaklu mean? Histaklu does not mean to see. It means to look. There's a very big difference between looking at something and seeing something. It's like when we say every day in davening, Shema Yisrael. Shema does not mean hear. It means listen. I can hear something in the background, but I'm not listening to it. I'm not paying attention. It has no relevance to me. I might be able to see something, it's not relevant to me, but if I look at it, that means it's important to me. Histaklu bashomayim ubaaretz. Study the shomayim ubaaretz and understand that just like they are not balei bechira, you too can become the same. How so? One word, and this is the key, histaklu. Only by looking, by being misboinim. That is the genius interpretation of the Shemesh Shmuel in this Rashi. How can you possibly learn a lesson from Shomayim Va'aretz who are not Baalei Bechira? Yes, that's the answer. You too can also, with hisboinenus, become non-Baalei Bechira. Where the MS becomes clear to you. You will forever remain a technical Baal Bechira, but practically the choice can be made, but you have to work on it. How so? Histaklu. That's the end of the piece of the Shemesh Shmuel, and I think If we were just to have shared the Shem Shmuel, that would suffice. It's such a magnificent piece. But if I may, I'd like to add a small addition. We might be thinking to ourselves, this all sounds very nice and very wonderful, but how do I connect to this in any way? What does that mean, become a non-Baal Bechira? I know full well that I am a Baal Bechira, and every choice I have to make is basically a 50-50. I win some, I lose some. What does that mean in real terms, become a non-Baal Bechira? I don't think I have any connection to that. And do you know what the answer is? One day a year, we all connect to that. And you know which day that is? Yom Kippurim. What does the Gemara tell us in Yuma? The Gemara tells us in Yuma, and this is a Medrash in Parshas Acharei Mos as well. Hasatan. It's the Satan that is always trying to pull us down. What is the numerical value of Hasatan? Hey is 5, Sin is 300, that's 305, Tes is 9, that's 314, plus Nun is 50, 364, says the Gemara. Hasatan is in business 364 days a year. One second, but there's 365 days in the year. On Yom Kippur, Hasatan does not exist. The Satan is out of business on Yom Kippur. And I think we can all relate to this in a very real way. We all know the feeling. It comes to the end of Yom Kippur, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're tired, we're exhausted, aching. And yet we all know the truth. If anybody would approach you in the middle of Ne'ilah and say, here, can I offer you a burger? Would you like a piece of bread when nobody is looking? I don't think anybody would even be tempted to eat it. Technically, do we have a choice? Sure, you can either eat it or not eat it. But for all intents and purposes, we have no choice. Do you know why we have no choice? Because the opening words on Yom Kippur are, Oir Zorua La Tzadik Ule Yishrei Leiv Simcha. Why are those the introductory words to Yom Kippur? Oir Zorua. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. Oir. Oir means light, clarity. On Yom Kippur, we don't have the Satan trying to pull us in all different Gashmias directions. We're not involved in Gashmias and Yom Kippur. There's no eating and there's no drinking and there's no bathing, etc., etc. So the MS becomes clear. Oir Zorua Latzadik. So all of a sudden, we know exactly what the Shem Shmuel is talking about. This concept of becoming a non-Baal Bechira is not esoteric. It's very real. We all feel that way on Yom Kippur. These days, approaching now, fast, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, including Elul as well, we're saying it every day. L'David Hashem, Oiri V'Yishi. Look in that perek, there is not one reference to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tshuva, Malchus. It's all there in the first pasuk. Oiri V'Yishi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my salvation. Everything is clear. It's all about Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. And when there's clarity, we might forever remain technical Baalei Bechira. But when there's real emes, when you see that fire, the consequence of doing an Avera, when you see the reward of Kirvas Eloikim Li Toiv, the choice has been made. And we all become, as it were, Einoi Baal Bechira. And that is really the avoida of these days. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, I think we would all admit that to truly say that we can become throughout the year, the way we feel on Yom Kippur is perhaps non-realistic. But we must also understand it's not all or nothing. And if we're involved in making 50-50 choices, if histaklu, we could be misboining a little bit, even if we just change the parameters, and it's no longer 50-50, it becomes 60-40. That's a tremendous achievement. Imagine, you'll excuse the moshel, imagine somebody is a heavy smoker. He smokes 50 cigarettes a day. Does he know it's unhealthy? He knows it's unhealthy. He's read, he's heard. So how does he justify it? I'm addicted. It's not so bad. People have survived. He becomes unwell. They rush him to hospital. They take a scan and they show him a picture of his lungs, and his lungs look terrible. And they say they have clearly been damaged in a terrible way by all your smoking. And they send him home. Does he still have a bechira to smoke 50 a day? Technically he does. He either can or he can't. Will he go one way or the other? It's pretty safe to assume, having seen that scan, more likely that he will not take that 50 cigarettes a day. Is it a definite? Might not be. It's no longer a 50-50 choice. I think we'd all agree it's now 60-40 or perhaps 80-20 or even more. That's our avodah. It's all in one word in Rashi, histaklu. This can only ever be brought about by histaklu, to look, to be misboinein. And if we were misboinein, we can change the game. We will forever remain technical Balei Bechira, and to an extent, practical Balei Bechira. But it doesn't mean that we are considered, it doesn't mean that we're always having our image clouded by the Yetzer Hara. And maybe let's just add one more line. The Gemara just told us Hasatan is 364. One second. Is that his name, Hasatan? His name is Satan. Hasatan just means the Satan. So this gematria is a little bit unfair. Where did we get the extra five from? Where did we borrow that from? We should really knock off the hay. Do you know what Rabbi Yonos and Eberschitz says? You're right, you can knock off the hay. There's five more days. Do you know which days those are? You have your Yom Kippur. 5 days later, it's Sukkos, ulekachtem lochem b'yoyim horishoin, sechazal yoyim horishoin shel cheshben avoinos. If you can only keep that Yom Tov, that Yom Kippur inspiration going, that will take you from the 10th of Tishri to the 11th, to the 12th, to the 13th, to the 14th, and all the way to the 15th. There are five more days that the Yetzer Hara becomes out of business. So the Yaris Devash, Rabbi Yonos and Eberschitz says, I'll give it to you. It's Satan. Satan is, knock off another five. And this is the avoid of Yom Kippurim. We've mentioned in the past, and with this we'll finish, where the Malach comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a Medrash. The Malach comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, look at your nation. Look at Klal Yisrael. They're like Malachim. There's no Averos committed on Yom Kippur. This is the accusing Malach, says the Medrash. It doesn't sound like a big accusation to me. And the Ksav Sefer explains this is an accusation. Because you know what the Malach is saying? Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are no Averos being performed on Yom Kippur. But what happens the day after, says the accusing Malach? That is his accusation. And our answer must be that little hay. We want to keep it going. Not just on the 10th day of Tishri, at least till Sukkos, and then Be'ezus Hashem, further and further. So therefore, this concept of the Shemesh Shmuel, that with the histaklu, with concentration, with work, with understanding, with hisboinenus, we can change the game. We will forever remain technical Bali Bechira, just like Adam HaRishon was in the beginning, just like we will be La'osiv Lovay. But the more things become MS, the more Oir Zarua LaTzadik, the more LaDovid Hashem Oiri VeYishi, the more we feel that, the more we will be like that person standing in front of the raging fire, where essentially he doesn't have a Bechira anymore. And that, says the Shemesh Shmuel, is the pshat in this Rashi. If you only study the Shemaim and Va'aretz, it's true, they don't have Bechira. But if you think about it, you'll realize that you can emulate that. And as we pointed out, lest that sounds something so completely removed from us, let's always remember that we connect to this every single year on Yom Kippur. The Sotan is out of business. And as Rabbi Yonos and Eberschitz explains, it doesn't become limited to Yom Kippur. It takes us to Sukkos, hopefully till Simchas Torah, and Be'ezus Hashem, throughout the year we should indeed be zeicher to feel that ani l'doidi, l'doidi li, to experience the oiri v'yishi, the oir zarua l'tzadik, to forever feel that emes, and therefore make the right choices, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach.